The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Going on, people. Welcome to Throwdown, episode 156. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
I am befuddled by the stream and YouTube. I see Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, I caught that too. As soon as I saw, I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to change the titles.
This is Throwdown, guys, by the way.
Yeah, I'll change that. Mr. Brian Manjoma.
It's been a crazy-ass week.
And we got a very special guest joining us once again, Mr. Robert Workman.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, Robert, how you been, man?
Man, it's been kind of hell trying to get this post-surgery stuff done on my face. But I'll tell you what, you know, we got some great games to play and talk about tonight and all that stuff. And we can finally get it out there in the open, Tony. We know you pre-ordered Bubsy for PlayStation.
Of course, man.
Just admit it.
Listen, that's going to be the game of the year, man. I can't wait.
This has been the Throwdown. Good night, people.
Yeah, there you go, man. So, Robert, man, just get us updated with, you know, what's been going on with you with all that. Actually, I do want to ask you about the surgery. Can you tell us about that, if that's okay?
Well, it was just melanoma scare. I had like a little dot on my face and everything. And I went in the dermatologist and they said, well, we're going to lop it off. And they did. And then they found like traces that they had removed. So they basically just cut into my face, took the rest of it out. I'm melanoma free, which is nice. But now I got this like Geralt of Rivia scar on my face, which is covered up by a Band-Aid because it's still kind of healing. But yeah, I'm going to look like a badass in 6 weeks.
Yeah, there you go, man. Yeah, I was like, Robert, you got more shit on your face than usual, man.
Careful how you say that, man. I mean, what kind of reputation are you trying to get? Wait, what are you doing to his face? What?
Your intemperate reputation, man. I'm going to sully it. Yo, so what's been going on with gaming, man? Like, you know, what are you guys doing over, you know, on the site?
Well, we're over comicbook.com/gaming. I actually just put up this neat little article where we talk about how this year we saw great games in the Zelda, Metroid, and Super Mario franchise. We haven't seen this since 2002 when Wind Waker, Super Mario Sunshine, and Metroid Prime came out for the GameCube. And then before that, it was 86, Mario the Lost Levels, Legend of Zelda, Metroid. This is like a rare year in which Nintendo's firing all cylinders, but we'll get to that. But
yeah.
I wrote something on that. I just did a review for the controller people's custom PS4 controller, which is awesome. Did a review for The Mummy Demastered, which is the only good thing associated with The Mummy. Please play that game. Don't seize the Tom Cruise movie. Just please don't. And so we've been just doing specials and editorials and reviews. It's tomorrow we're posting Wolfenstein and Assassin's Creed. It's going to be a great fucking day.
Yeah, busy day, man. Busy day too, you know. It's going to be insane, you know. But yeah, let's get into it, man. So tomorrow we have the releases of, like Robert said, these crazy games. We have Super Mario Odyssey on Switch. We have Assassin's Creed Origins on multiple platforms and Wolfenstein 2 on multiple platforms. Whoo, man. And Robert, since you're the guest here, why don't you tell us, which one are you most excited for playing? I know you want to play all of them, obviously, but which one is the one that's like, oh, man, I got to play this one first?
Oh, man, you know what? I just want a game where Luigi's dressed up in assassin's garb and killing Nazis.
There you go.
In a dream world. You know, I'm torn. You know, it's great to see Assassin's Creed back to form. I've seen reviews talk about how it's great, and based upon what I played so far, it's pretty damn sweet. But I'm a Wolfenstein man. You know, I love the New Order. I love the Old Blood. Both excellent games without the need for multiplayer, might I add, because I know a lot of people are like, well, single player is dead. No, it's not dead. Shut up. And then Super Mario Odyssey is supposed to be the best open exploration Mario game since what? Super Mario Galaxy 2. So I'm kind of excited for all of them. I'm kind of excited to see where this weekend takes me, and with Odyssey especially. Yeah. And I just, you know, you can't go wrong. You know, unless you have Bubsy. No, Bubsy's okay, I guess.
Come on, stop beating up on Bubsy, man. Shit.
Did you see the Halloween trailer? There's this dude shows up in a Sonic the Hedgehog costume and he's, no. He shuts the door on him.
That's hilarious. I didn't see that.
Watch it. It's pretty funny, but it's just awkward. But no, it's going to be a good weekend for gaming. I am looking forward to digging into Odyssey in just a matter of an hour or so, actually, when it unlocks. So I'm looking forward.
Did you get to play Odyssey before at E3?
I did for a little while, and I was really impressed by all the stuff you could do with Cappy. You know, like I'm possessing Bullet Bill. I'm possessing this dude on the street. I'm driving an RC car. I'm doing a lot of stuff I wouldn't really expect to do in a Mario game. It provides so much innovation in gameplay and everything. So I'm really excited to see where that takes me and how many moons I can get. You know, it's the whole shine get thing all over again, except it's really something.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So, yeah, for me, like, out of all these, the only one I haven't played yet is Mario because Nintendo don't love me. I got to play a little bit of Wolfenstein at an event a few weeks ago. I liked the first Wolfenstein, you know, the one that came out a couple years ago. New Order, I believe it was. That was great. So this one is more of that, which is really good. But the one I was most excited about, and I'm glad I got the review code early, is Assassin's Creed. You guys saw my little stream there. Loving the game. I've been a huge fan of, you know, Assassin's Creed since the beginning, right? You know, the first one was a little bit kind of, you know, after two, the series really took off. And this one, it's weird. It's like, it's still Assassin's Creed, but it's also different because, you know, you don't have like really tall buildings to climb. You have to use your eagle for eagle vision. And, you know, because it takes place in ancient times. So there's, you know, less technology to deal with. But at the same time, it's still Assassin's Creed. You're still running around, killing people and all that. But they did change the combat. You know, I want to ask you, what do you think about the combat? Because, you know, a lot of games get compared to Dark Souls. This made me think of Dark Souls with the shield and the parrying and the dodging and all that. You know, not necessarily the difficulty, but like the way you engage enemies in this felt like I was playing Dark Souls. It's like, okay, I got to take them out one at a time. I can't just like, you know, kill everybody at once, you know, like before.
I'm fine with that because then you don't have a level of invincibility. It doesn't make you feel like, well, I can just parry this guy. You know, it's a system that I think works better for the game. Yeah. Plus, you got to understand, I mean, you know, it's built upon a foundation where it wants to challenge players again, which is what really works. We have a new person here.
Yeah, that's... Hey, Brett, what's going on?
What's up?
Yeah, we'll get to, you know, to asking you about your you know, most anticipated game later on. But, yeah, I do like the combat because, like you said, you could die. You can't just, like, you know, okay, I'm just going to parry everything all day, every day. You really need to be focused on. And, it took a little while for me to get used to because, again, I've been playing these games forever. You kind of have, like, muscle memory of how to play an Assassin's Creed game. This is completely different, you know, totally different. But I enjoyed it. And, yeah, man, like, this is the game for me. I'm just going to keep, like... I usually try not to play video games on the weekend because I got TV to catch up with. No TV, just Assassin's Creed, you know? But then after that, I'm going to jump over to Wolfenstein because that's the shortest game here. I appreciate the fact that they're making a single-player game, no tacked-on bullshit. And then after that, Mario. Mario's going to be pretty fun. Like, yeah.
No loot boxes.
No loot boxes. Yeah. Could you imagine that, Mario with loot boxes and stuff? That would be crazy.
Your princess is in another castle. You got to pay $5 to access it.
Yeah, and it hasn't been that long since I played a Mario game. The last Mario game I played was Super Mario Land 3D on 3DS, which is a really fun game, you know? But like a console Mario, Super Nintendo probably, you know? That's the last time I played because I skipped all that Nintendo era basically. But yeah, definitely Assassin's Creed, very, very happy with it. And I'm glad I can actually tell people about it now, you know, but how to keep hush for a couple of days, you know. Even that stream was brutal. It's like only 30 minutes, you know. I want to give a quick shout out to Isaac, who was watching me stream. I was like, yo, Isaac, how much time do I got? Because when you're streaming, you lose track of time, man, especially when you're having fun, you know. But yeah, those are, you know, obviously out of the three. So my order would be Assassin's Creed, Wolfenstein, then Mario. Let's jump over to Manny.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about all these games dropping on the same day? Are these companies being unfair to us?
No, I mean, if you sparse out your shit, I mean, you know, you guys obviously, you know, you work in the industry, so you kind of have to fit them in so that you can get them in that kind of slot where you can talk about them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it seems like after the games have come out, maybe a week or two later, it's already redundant to be talking about these. So you kind of have to get in there right away. Like, oh yeah, I gotta get this. I feel like, you know, I mean, usually when these sorts of situations happen, I just buy both games and I just choose the, you know, choose one and then just move on to the next one. I don't feel the urge to kind of play both at the same time.
You know? I mean, you know, I don't know how you guys are, but I don't like playing games at the same time. It kind of dilutes it all, you know? Like, I was playing Shadow War. I had to put that on the back burner. I'm like, I can't do this, man.
Well, the thing is that, like, there's good combinations and there's bad combinations. You wouldn't put two friggin' open world games right back to back next to each other. That just doesn't make any sense. What you do is, like, at least what I would do was I'd put, like, you know, like, I remember years ago, Brutal Legend came out, and I was playing that in Uncharted 3, I think.
It was
Uncharted 2, right?
Yeah, it was Uncharted 2.
Okay, yeah, I was playing those at the same time, and, like, you know, Brutal Legend's a kind of an open-world RTS game, and, you know, Uncharted is, you know, one of those linear storytelling games, and that's how I do those sorts of things, you know, just kind of fit the ones together. So if I were playing them, I'd probably play the Wolfenstein game and maybe Assassin's Creed at the same time.
Yeah, because they're kind of different. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, two different things. And then the thing is that one closes out faster than the other, which would be the Wolfenstein game.
The Bethesda developer actually told me, because I asked him, like, what do you think about the fact that you guys are launching with Assassin's Creed and Mario? He's like, people are probably going to play our game first because this is the shortest. That's exactly what he told me.
I would, if I had a Switch, I'd probably buy Mario Galaxy. The other two games, and, you know, I'm not into first person shooter games, and I've kind of fallen off with the Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah. All right. Chris, what about you, man? Now that you have a Switch, brother. Is it time for Mario?
I'll get Mario. I've been playing Zelda, and I do like it. There's some frustrating things, but, like, overall, it's an enjoyable game. I definitely, like, if I said there was one game, and I said this on multiple shows, that people would look forward to and jump on, is Odyssey, right? That's what people look forward to on a Nintendo system, is that Mario game. So this is it, right? Now, surrounded by Assassin's Creed, I don't know, like, if Ubisoft and Bethesda just high five, it's like sandwich these guys, you know, with Assassin's Creed and Wolfenstein too. But yeah, I'm not sure why, if they're dodging Call of Duty, I don't understand this release schedule. Like, why pack these so close together? Like, Assassin's Creed couldn't launch last week, or they didn't separate it at all. They all launched on Friday, and on Friday, no less, you know? So that's weird to me. But if I had to play, I love Wolfenstein. I played New Order and Old Blood back to back. They were great. So I look forward to this one. And yeah, I will pick up Mario for sure. Assassin's Creed, I haven't been into it since the Ezio games. I haven't played Assassin's Creed since then. I skipped all of it. Now, but this one seems interesting with going back to ancient Egypt and you're fighting the Romans and stuff. So there's a possibility there for that. But later, not right now.
Yeah, for sure. And Carlos, man, what about you? How are you going to make all this work?
So I'm going to get all three games, but for third most anticipated, I would say Wolfenstein 2, just for the plain fact that I'm still playing Wolfenstein 1. I haven't beat it yet. So I played that today, and I'm almost halfway, so I should be close to that. But I'm going to play Assassin's Creed before that, because I'm a bigger fan of the Assassin's Creed franchise, but I haven't played it since Black Flag. I think Unity came out after that.
Yeah, Unity and Syndicate. Yeah,
and Syndicate. And I didn't play those games, so I'm glad that I'm getting back to the franchise with a game that what people have been telling me is worth playing. But man, the game I'm anticipated most is fucking Mario. Man, I love Mario Bros. 1, 2, 3, World 64, Sunshine, Galaxy 1 and 2. Like, I played all of those games. I love all of those games. Mario is the reason why I got the Switch. Like, if nothing came out other than Mario, I wouldn't really care. And yeah, Mario is my shit, and this game looks pretty drastic as opposed to the last couple of Mario games. So I'm glad that the franchise is moving forward. And God damn, those Metacritic scores are freaking high, man.
Yeah, are you surprised, though?
I'm not surprised, man. First-party Nintendo games, like, regardless of what anyone thinks they are, like, they always get good scores. I mean, people are saying this is a masterpiece. I'll judge it for myself, but damn, that's crazy.
I think there's, The thing that blew my mind, IGN gave it a 10.
Yeah.
They don't give 10 out of anything except what was the last game to get like a Legend of Zelda? I don't know what the last
game was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's interesting, like people judge. I always said this might be controversial. I always said that reviewers grade Nintendo game first party Nintendo games on a curve. Like they sometimes like Nintendo games get like a pass on some aspects, but for me, I'm a huge like Mario fan. I'm a huge Nintendo fan in general. So I'll like believe me, next week I'll talk about whether this game is warranting all the praise that it's gotten, the extreme praise that is.
Yeah, I'll talk about it later because one site gave it a kind of bad rating, and oh boy, they're go ahead, Brett.
I understand that Nintendo does get a kind of a pass, and I think that's going to be kind of inevitable with a lot of the games. But I think that there's another aspect to it too. And I am not riding it on a white horse to defend Nintendo here, so pay very close attention about what I'm about to say. A lot of Nintendo's games are homogenized for a mass audience, which means that a lot of people can find a lot that they like about it. But there's not a whole lot of people who are like, oh my fucking God, holy shit, this is the best game I've ever played. Like, it doesn't check all of everybody's boxes, but it checks most of everybody's boxes. And so if you go with the whole you can't please 100% of the people 100% of the time, I think that's why a lot of people kind of give it a pass. Because even if they're like, you know, well, this isn't for me, they know somebody that gameplay feature would be well with, you know, like with Mario Kart, like, yeah, I mean, the auto steering is bullshit, but like 3-year-olds like it. So maybe it's just not my bag, and Nintendo's painting with broad strokes here. So, while I do think that they get part of a pass, I do think that their ease of access is one of the reasons that they kind of get that pass.
Yeah, and the quality of the games is really good. These games, first party Nintendo games, are synonymous with quality and not being like buggy games or bad games at all. So yeah, these games are good, but I mean some of the praise that it's gotten, it's like, damn, am I really expecting to play the best game in this generation? Yeah. So it's like I'm like those expectations have been put upon me by seeing some of the praise about that it's gotten. Well,
yeah, but when you hear who won the Oscar, does that mean that that's the best movie of that year? Like that's the way that I hear it. Maybe I'm just coming at this whole thing like a cynic. Like, yeah, if everybody had to agree on a game, I would absolutely imagine it would probably be Mario. But that's because if you're saying does everybody agree on a game?
But this is like the Academy is like a homogenized being. Like game critics are so independent of each other when it comes to like review scores. Like they vary, but for some reason Nintendo people just have a like-mindedness when it comes to reviewing these games. They always kind of go the same direction. Like I see I'm looking at the Metacritic right now and I'm seeing hundreds across the board.
You know what? I mean, that's not entirely the case. I remember like one game that really divided a lot of people was Super Mario Sunshine. This came out on the GameCube back in 2002. And if I recall correctly, either people really hated what they did with it or they really loved what they did with it. I mean, obviously Odyssey is a different beast altogether. You know, Cappy's not Flood, so we're not worried about that. But I mean, it kind of, you know, when it comes to like stark differences, I can see where people were divided on that, where Odyssey seemed to offer a lot more than that.
Well, Super Mario Sunshine was divisive within the community because I remember playing it when it came out, and I loved the game. I can't talk about the press and how they. I went to the Metacritic and it has a 92 with 61 reviews, so it's pretty critically acclaimed in that aspect.
I'm just saying some people just I guess some people really adapt better to feature. Like Cappy does seem to be able to do a lot more. You know, like you could jump on him as a secondary platform, you could possess Bullet Bill or whoever else, you know, one of the turtles if you want. So I mean I can understand maybe people are starting to appreciate that kind of accessibility compared to, well, here's a water cannon, shoot him in the face, we'll get the mud off him or something.
Yeah, and don't forget Sunshine came directly after Super Mario 64, which was one of the best games to come out like ever, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, and I know I'm playing both sides of the fence here and I don't care. Would this game be as good if the main character was somebody other than Mario?
Good question.
I'd play the hell out of Luigi Odyssey.
No. I mean, if this was just somebody you had never heard of, if this were like a new knack or something like that, or just a brand new IP, do you think it would get the same reception that it has?
Can I answer it with a question, Brett?
Oh, I love those. Yes.
Would ARMS get a higher review score if they changed the name from ARMS to Punch Out?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Although there might be a backlash on that because it is definitely not Punch Out.
Most likely. What if Little Mac was the main character? Then it would be a Punch Out.
Punch Out Future
or something.
Punch Out Future.
Or Punch Out Evolved. I think that may have been actually a better way to go with that game because if they would have been able to. It's doing well, but I don't think a lot of people are still playing it. It's fun to pull out every once in a while. It's fun to play, but it's not like one of those fighting games that it's your bread and butter and you keep coming back to and coming back to.
I can't help but think, when Nintendo comes up with great ideas that really implement themselves well into a game, it's great how their audience, grasps on it, no matter what their opinion may have been beforehand. Because you guys remember when, Metroid Prime was getting shit on all over the place because they were trying to take a side-scrolling shooter into a first person. Oh, this game's going to be garbage. And then the game comes out.
It becomes the new staple of Metroid games.
Yeah. So, I think we're seeing that with Odyssey. People are adapting to the new ideas when they had their doubts and everything like that. They'd be like, holy shit, this is how I want Mario to be. Although I do want Galaxy 3. This is how I want Mario to be. That sort of
thing. All right. Actually, Brett, since you were talking, out of these three games, what's your, order?
I'm still not sold on Assassin's Creed, especially right on the back of Shadow of Mordor. It seems like, Egypt and all, whoop-de-fucking-do. I think I'm a little less excited about this Assassin's Creed because I'm a big fan of ancient cultures and Egyptology and things like that. So of all the games, this falls closest into my personal knowledge base, but it is also the most fabricated by a wide margin. Even the stuff that they're like, this is historically accurate. It's like you can't cite that. You all you can actually say is you can't technically refute that this may not have been the case. Is the closest they come to historical accuracy. And I realize that's because it's so far back. But there's a lot of really interesting stuff in Egyptology, how old is the Sphinx kind of thing. And they think the Sphinx actually predates when they thought it was built by a pretty wide amount of time, and that the head was recarved. It would have been really cool to see little nods towards that, some of the things that are argued. But they didn't, they just kind of went with the, and it's not even based on the layout of any kind of city. And I know some of them are very loosely based on it, but even then they really have no fucking clue what they're talking about. And so in my opinion, you're comparing a fiction game to a fiction game, as opposed to Assassin's Creed is normally this quasi alternate history. I don't feel like Origins falls into that category, and it's made me a little less interested in it. So I've heard good things. I might change my mind, but I'm more piqued about Shadow psyched about Shadow of Mordor, and all the changes that have come with that. So I'd probably put Assassin's Creed lowest on my list. What was the second one again?
The other two were Super Mario and Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein, that's right. I am probably number two in there would be Wolfenstein, and that's probably because, and it's a weird reason, Wolfenstein tends to come out with really solid DLC, and it is definitely a cinematic first party or first person experience, single player kind of deal. So I generally, with Wolfenstein, I'll kind of wait on it and pick it up when the DLC comes out, and then just run through both the game and the DLC because I know the game's on the shorter side. So I can – and maybe this makes me an asshole. I can wait and just pick up the game for $30 later and get the game plus all of its DLC for a total of $60, and it'll be the same experience now as later. Just because of the type of game it is. There's no online interaction. There's nothing like that. And I can pretty reliably expect them to come out with good DLC. So it's second on my list, but not because I don't respect the game. I respect the shit out of the game. so much so that I'm not necessarily in any hurry to play it. So I guess at the top of my list would be Mario, and I would double down on that with, I think of all these games that are coming out, Mario has the most chance to be finished, polished, and complete of all of the games. I don't trust Assassin's Creed to come out with a play-ready game on launch day. It's going to be 2 to 4 weeks before all the, you know, some of the kinks are worked out on that thing. I don't think I have to worry about that with Wolfenstein, but again, I'll just approach it later when there's more content to just take all at once, because I don't really like, I'm not a big fan of going back and playing 4 hours worth of DLC. It just does not feel like enough game to me, so I'd rather just wait for all the content to release.
Makes sense. And I saved the best for last, because Brian, I don't think you're interested in any of these games, are you?
Nope.
I knew it.
But make them order them anyway.
First of all, I'd order Dragon's Dogma Remastered top, just because it's Dragon's Dogma and that game's great. And then the rest can just float around Knack 2 somewhere.
Knack 2,
Jesus.
Ouch. That was fun.
And by the way, Brett, you weren't on a white horse. You were actually on a brown horse.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, not to get too nerdy, but I need to ask it because I'm also a big fan of like ancient Egypt stuff. Now, Brett, do you think they're taking liberties because of the fact that you can't refute some of that shit because it took place so long ago? Is that like your sticking point? Okay.
Yeah, and not only that, but like a lot of the things that they're arguing aren't the things that they're taking liberties with, which is the thing that astounds me. Like, for instance, they found a lot of water erosion around the base of the Sphinx. The only way that water erosion would have come up is before the pyramids were built, because when they built the pyramids, this left a very large quarry in which water was known to run off. So to get 4 feet of standing runoff water at the base of the Sphinx would have had to have come before the pyramids, right? So that basically says that there's a lot of evidence to state the Sphinx was built before the pyramids, which in current mainstream Egyptology, they say is not the case, but they've been shown as they've been bringing more, you know, they bring geology into the field and geology can tell you, you know, weather and erosion patterns. So they could have paid a lot of stuff for that. They could have gone with an alternate like, oh, well, maybe Egypt is 7,000 fucking years old, or maybe, you know, they could have done a lot of really cool stuff with that. But instead, they just kind of made these random baseline assumptions that don't really have anything to do with historical accuracy, but instead just play into the game itself.
Man, are you doing that for effect? What the fuck?
Yes. Yes. Because we're in ancient Egypt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because that's authentic ancient Egypt. Yeah.
So Brett, let me ask you, do you think they played it safe with, because they apparently got an Egyptologist aboard to help them out with some of this shit, you know? Do you think they just played it too safe? They didn't go with the more, like, wilder stuff that could have happened back then?
They took the basics of what was concretely established and then surrounded that with wild conjecture. But the problem is the stuff that is concretely established is actually really minimal. So it leaves them a lot of wiggle room. So, yes, I do think that I don't want to say they took advantage of it, as that's kind of the whole point of the game. I mean, like, you'll see it in spades more if they do Assassin's Creed Mesopotamia.
Yeah, that's what,
like,
I'm saying.
You want to visit the Tower of Babel? Like, nobody knows what the Tower of Babel looked like, or even if it actually fucking exists. And they'll be like, well, it's historically accurate. As far as you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you mention that, because I've noticed that, like, for example, the Assassin's Creed 3, right, the one that took place in America, right? That had the longest fucking codexes. You know why? Because all that shit was documented, right? This shit, and you know what? I got to go off on this. I wrote about this in my impressions of, because obviously I'm not a review because I can't finish the game yet. I have a big beef with the fact that, because I love the, you know, going to a new building, right? And getting a cool codex explaining everything, right? And this one, it's like, hey, you found the tomb of Alexander the Great. Here's some experience points. Thank you. It's like, wait, what the fuck? Can I read about the fucking tomb? You know, so I'm guessing what they did was, because there's going to be a Discovery Tour DLC that has that stuff. So I'm like, I think they cut it out of this game to put it into the DLC, which is free. But I'm like, come on, that's half the fun for me. You know, it's like, you can't have me look at, you know, find the Tomb of Alexander the Great and did not tell me about it. You know, it's like, come on, man. What the fuck? Okay. You know,
let me make a guess here. OK, so as some of you may or may not know, King Tutankhamun, King Tut, is the son of somebody named King Akhenaten. King Akhenaten was the first one to try and pull away from a corrupt priesthood and go from a polytheistic religion into a monotheistic religion, in which point they worshipped the sun. This converted a lot of Egypt over to a new form of religion and created an immense amount of civil strife until the priests got together and fucking murdered Akhenaten and his son. That's why King Tut died at fucking 13, because he was killed by the priests. This would make an excellent addition to the story. You could just assign factions to one of these sides. Like, maybe King Akhenaten was, you know, thrown in with the vestiges of the assassins, and his overthrow would be the Templars taking back over. And the interesting thing is, they then went back through and scrubbed the history. All of the hieroglyphics, all the statues were broken down. There is no actual history really written about King Akhenaten, because it's just this hole that was intentionally erased. This is one of the bigger and more well-known things about the dynasties of ancient Egypt, but I doubt that they will even approach that. And that's where I get a little bit disappointed, is this is a great opportunity to actually educate some people about some really cool stuff, and instead you're just using the wiggle room to fabricate a Hollywood-esque story, which goes away from the roots.
Yeah, to be fair, though, the Discovery DLC is supposed to be more rooted in the actual Egyptology stuff, not the crazy assassin-y stuff. So we may get something along those lines. I just wish it was in the actual main game now. You know, I got to wait a week or two.
To find out about Imhotep and Anaxanamun?
Yeah, but like I said, I was surprised that it takes place. Yeah. I mean, it's still ancient times, but, like, you know, the Roman Republic is around, you know, a couple of years removed from the Roman Empire and all that. But hey, because I thought it was going to be – yeah, go ahead, brother.
Serious question. Did anybody find Steve Martin? He's dressed up as King Tut.
Did anybody find King Tusk, the elephant?
That would be awesome. But yeah, but I'm digging the game. That eagle is fucking awesome. It's like the best thing about the game, you know? All right, I think we've pretty much covered all, and it kind of sucks because usually we would give you a more thorough breakdown of what we think about each game, but the problem is it comes out, you know, they come out tomorrow. It's a weird thing that, you know, games are coming out Friday now, but at the same time, I think that's a better day for games to come out than Tuesday. Tuesday's just a weird, random day. Friday makes more sense. The weekends come in, everybody gets to play games, you know? But I'm sure most of us will play most of these games in the next couple of days, you know? It should be fun. All right, so let's move on to some news here. A lot of stuff actually happened this week.
News?
Yes, news! All right, so this first one is, you knew this was coming. Poor one out for the Kinect. Microsoft has officially discontinued it, man. After
they disconnected it?
I'm at that age. I'm so close.
Wait a minute. So I'm not Han Solo? Damn.
No, you're not Han Solo.
Damn.
Man. Yeah. Hey, Robert, you know, why don't you start us off, man? What do you think about the Kinect itself? And what do you think about Microsoft finally killing the damn thing?
On the one hand, I think the games were gimmicky that came out for it. You know, I understand having a secondary camera when you were, like, live streaming. That was kind of cool, and I really didn't mind doing that stuff. But, you know, was I really going to sit there and play, like, you know, Fruit Ninja on my highly advanced TV? No, I wasn't or anything like that. Plus, you know, Star Wars Kinect, that left the worst taste in my mouth from the 360 days.
Oh, man.
Like, you know, when I got that 360, I found out I took a copy of Star Wars Kinect and shredded it right the fuck back in. I don't want this. I don't want to be Han Solo. But, you know, the Xbox One, when they got Kinect, it had its moments, just not enough of them. You know, like Kinect Sports was kind of lackluster and everything like that. But then you had something really cool like Fantasia, Music Evolved, which was Harmonix's game, and it was really well done. But, you know, you kept wondering, like, well, what happened if they mixed this in with, like, a Rock Band sort of thing? So, I mean, the Kinect's kind of been dead for a couple of years, to be honest. We haven't seen them too many games for it or anything, aside from some mobile shit converted over to Xbox One for some reason. So, you know, I'm surprised the plug didn't get pulled sooner. I mean, it was a great experiment when it lasted, but we've also seen a lot of duds that come from it. You know, like, I can't tell you like how many times I tried to play Kinect Sports doing the wall climbing thing, looking like a freaking idiot doing the like this crap and be like, what are you doing? Are you feeling up Dolly Parton? What are you doing? What's going on? I'm like, I'm climbing a wall. I look like a dumbass, but I'm climbing a wall. But no, Microsoft needed to do this to like focus more on their, you know, hardcore stuff, you know, like Cuphead and Crackdown and all that stuff. You know, the Kinect wasn't going to get shit.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Now, what is Microsoft's camera? Or will they even have a camera now?
They should release a camera. I mean, you know, like the PlayStation camera. If you want to do some streaming and everything, especially since they got Mixer, it would make perfect sense to take whatever the Kinect camera was and just make a general camera and everything like that. You know, unless they're scared that somebody's going to play Uno and do their whole penis thing for their face again.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they should do a camera, though. I mean, especially with Mixer involved. I'm surprised they haven't introduced one yet. So that'll probably come like early next year or something like that.
Yeah, here's the interesting thing, though. It's like, okay, the Kinect is dead, obviously, but the technology lives on, right? Especially in HoloLens and other applications. So, you know, there's a bunch of independent studios and stuff that are using Kinect technology for their stuff. So it's not go ahead.
But I mean, okay, so they're using the Kinect technology for a bunch of other stuff, but does that mean, is Microsoft still producing them?
They're not producing the Kinect for consumers anymore, right? But I'm assuming they're still going to produce it for, you know, companies and stuff that are using it for applications or whatever. So it's still out there. And by the way, if you still want to buy a Kinect, you can still buy one. And if you have a Kinect, they're still going to support it through firmwares and all that stuff. It's just no more being produced, you know. But here's the thing about Kinect, because obviously nowadays it's a punching bag and all that, but it was actually pretty successful, right? Especially on a 360. It sold like 35 million altogether, right? So it wasn't a dud at first, you know, but it's just very interesting. Somebody pointed this out to me. Kinect died before the Move did. You know, the Move controllers.
You know? Move is still around. It's still moving.
Which is interesting. But yeah, I think Kinect is going to be kind of like VR. You know, for gaming, it's not really all that, but the technology is going to be used in other things, you know? So it's not going to just go away, you know, which is pretty crazy.
But the gaming portion, for the most part,
is over. That's that. Yeah, the gaming portion is done. Chris, get in here, man. What do you think about all this?
I think we called that one.
Yeah, we
somebody,
did.
I will go buy Others Inc. Some tissues and maybe some. I don't know. I buy him some speed metal or something to take his mind off.
Yes,
you know, the loss, because that must be heart wrenching. We knew that shit. I mean, come on, man. That thing was a gimmick, like. Gimmick off of a gimmick, right? This was all the Wii motion controls just sprouted the Move and the Kinect and Robert sealed it. Like the Star Wars Kinect must have been the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. Like played, I've seen people playing it. Like, oh my god, that's real life.
Well, the dancing game in itself was a friggin' atrocity.
Oh, man.
You know, if it was the Cantina theme, I understand. But you're going to really mix a song called I'm Han Solo and eat, or whatever the hell this thing is. I don't
know what it is. Isn't that the name of the new movie?
Yeah, right. Han Solo. And then the Rancor game. How do you mess that up? The controls were so bad when all I was trying to do was rampage through a city. But like, you can't give me manual controls for this shit? What's wrong with you,
man? Yeah, but Chris, now you got me thinking about Other Zinc, because he was always saying, "Oh, the Kinect is going to be the Microsoft's biggest thing. They're going to have games for at E3, and they never did."
Yeah, we knew it was dead going into that E3. He was ranting about that. We're like, dude, they're not going to talk about Kinect games. This thing is finished for now. And now, and they finally sealed it. It's buried right in next to King Tut.
Yeah, man, definitely pour one out for the Kinect, aka Project Natal.
Yeah,
aka Skittles, aka Milo. Where are we going? And
Milo's going to bed. That's
where Milo's going. Milo ain't waking up anymore, man.
Oh,
Milo's a disgruntled adult now. Yeah, man, like 10 years ago.
No, he's an angry teen.
The innovation was he wrote something on paper. Oh, go fuck myself.
Yeah, right. Oh man,
and honestly, like, fuck the Kinect, man, because that's the reason why.
But fuck it.
Yeah, because think about it. That's the reason why Xbox isn't as competitive as it should be. That's one of the reasons.
Xbox One, that's right, yeah. If it wasn't for that Kinect, that thing wouldn't have cost $500, you know? Yep. But, there's those Xbox fanboys, you know, praising the fuck. Kinect is the greatest thing ever. Really?
It's a very impressive piece of tech, but I feel like it's too ambitious for what the Xbox universe is.
Yeah, remember when Microsoft was saying how Kinect is integral to the Xbox experience, and it could never remove it, and then they removed it a year later.
Yeah, they patched that shit out. Like, that's marketing speak. We called that out too. We're like, that's nonsense, and they patched it out, and now it's done. And honestly, like, what do gamers need? What do you want? You want a good ass controller. Like, controllers are pretty damn good as is. The Xbox One controller is great, right? What else do you freaking need?
Well, like, you make don't sure need you to clarify be... that. Well, make sure you clarify. Like, good ass controller, not good controller for your ass.
Oh, no.
Yes, just to be clear.
Sorry to interrupt.
Somewhere in this world, there is Don Matrick shedding a tear, collecting a six-figure checks, knowing that he's getting paid so much money and still fucking up a whole section of a company.
Man, Don Matrick. But we need him back, Carlos, right? You know, he could fix the ship. Remember when he was running Xbox, it was the 360. We need that back. I'm quoting the fanboys right now.
The thing is that he only inherited that. The ball was already rolling. He just kind of hooked on.
I just love how they, you know, they latch onto that, but they don't talk about how he fucked up the Xbox One X or Xbox One. But, you know, Don Matrick is king. It's ridiculous. All right, man, I want to move on here. Unless anybody else has any other thoughts on the Kinect. I guess we don't, so we move on. More Microsoft news, though.
I would play the First Blood theme, but I didn't think of that now. You know, it's a long road when you're on your own.
Oh, man. All right, I want to move on here. More Microsoft news. So they announced the first 13 backwards compatible Xbox games, you know? The cool thing is they're going to be displayed at 1080p. Some are going to be running at like a way higher frame rate and all that. And I'm going to have one of you guys read the list for me because I pulled it up now, but it was like an IGN link and it started playing music. I don't know. You probably heard a little bit of that. But, you know, they got KOTOR in it. That's probably like one of the biggest ones in there, which is pretty cool. You know, I think I saw Jess Corden just like, you know, tweeting it out. He's like, it's just running at 60 frames, you know? So it's cool. Go ahead, man.
So it's KOTOR, Ninja Gaiden Black, Crimson Skies, Fusion Frenzy, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, Psychonauts, Dead to Rights, Black, Grabbed by the Ghoulies?
Yeah, Ghoulies, yeah.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies, yeah.
Sid Meier's Pirates, Red Faction 2, Blood Rain 2, and The King of Fighters, Neo Wave.
And you've got Black.
Yeah, no, he said yeah. Black. But
oh, did he? I must have missed it.
Blood Rain 2?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that stumps me the most, you know?
You know, I mean, where's Jet Set Radio Future?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, where's that? Where's Panzer Dragoon Orta? You know,
where's Burnout 3?
Man,
ooh, the wrong Criterion game, guys. Come on.
Heck, even if it's the worst game, still might should have gotten KOTOR 2. We also might as well just finish off the whole thing.
But I'm assuming it's going to be like Xbox One backwards compatible games, or Xbox 360 compatible games, where you'll keep getting them every like week or so. You know, so this is not the only list. There's going to be more. You know, but I think it's a pretty good batch.
We got a new update coming.
Yeah. I think it's a good batch, you know. Yeah, maybe you'll get your KOTOR too.
And I like that they're doing this too.
Huh?
Just in general, I like that they're doing this. Like, this is actually pretty good for gamers.
Yeah, I mean, Crimson Skies looks great, and I don't think Psychonauts has ever been as beautiful as it is here. And, you know, so it does a good job with, like, representing the original Xbox brand. But, damn it, I want Jet Set. I want Panzer Dragoon. I want
Man. But I guess now they didn't need to remaster Voodoo Vince. They could have just tossed it on this.
I still like Voodoo Vince. I'll pick on Voodoo Vince.
Yeah, I liked Voodoo. I never played Voodoo Vince originally. I played it. I liked it. It was a good game. You know, it took me back to that era. You know, it was like 3D platforming. I miss those.
Let's talk about what's important. Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, damn it.
Yes, let's bring that, you know.
Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure that won't even be seen nowadays.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah, I think I remember like thinking how like, oh yeah, you probably can't get away with releasing a new Dead or Alive Extreme Beach game anymore. And then they were like, oh yeah, you know, a couple weeks later, like, we're not bringing this game to America because, you know, this, that, or the other thing. I'm like, damn, shit is crazy. I don't know what's wrong with titties, but, you know, what are you gonna do? Oh man. So yeah, good list. All right, let's move on here. Manny, get ready, man. Metal Gear Survive. What's going on?
What can I say about it? It's funny. It's very interesting how Konami just kind of, with no hype or anything like that, just
put a little thing out on Twitter. Hey, Metal Gear 5 is coming out in February. Here's some screenshots. Here's the cover. That's it. Crickets.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to Manny's podcat in the background there.
That's the mini.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, this is getting a release date. It's coming February. The game's going to cost $40, apparently. Mm-hmm. And they released a couple screenshots.
I mean, there's not much to say about it. I mean, I played it at E3, as you guys know. I mean, it controls like an adjusted version of Metal Gear Solid, the Phantom Pain. Maybe kind of like the Metal Gear Online world of things, because there's some slight differences between Metal Gear Online and the actual Metal Gear Solid 5 single player. So, I mean, this to me, this always just looks like an extension of the online mode. They wanted to add all these extra things. I mean, from what I played, it was fine, but I'm not that interested in this. You know, it's it's not what the Metal Gear series is. You
wait,
know?
So you're saying you're not interested in pure cash grabs?
No, not interested in pure cash grabs. No, I feel like it was. I mean, obviously, this is Konami trying to, you know, probably make back the insane amount of money that they probably spent to make Metal Gear Solid 5. And then, you know, I don't even know how much of a team they even had to do this thing. So it's just kind of like, all right, let's throw this out there and see what sticks. I don't know.
But here's the problem. It's not even going to be that complete a game. There's barely any single player content in this. It's going to be multiplayer oriented.
Oh, yeah, it's totally multiplayer.
Because there's no way to do a single player story on a Metal Gear game without Kojima. You just can't.
Well, no, it's been done without. There are a couple of Metal Gear games that have been done that do not have Kojima involved. But the thing is, I think that's the reason why this game is the way it is. That it's not very story driven because they're still trying to regroup from him leaving. It's like, where do you take this without having to spend a lot of effort? To be honest, everyone really wants is a remaster of any one of the games.
Oh, man, like that Pachinko fucking game, man.
Like, people want, like, you see those cinematics in that Metal Gear Solid 3 Pachinko game. How awesome would it be to play Metal Gear Solid 3 in, like, full-on Fox Engine and stuff like that? That's the shit that we all want to see. But then we kind of get this kind of Metal Gear Survive thing where it's like, who is this for?
Yeah, they don't really make all the greatest decisions. I also read somewhere earlier this morning that they're making Contra into a live-action movie.
Yeah, Robert's skipping ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we had it on the roster.
Yeah, I sent this man the show notes. He obviously didn't read them.
Well, I am doing this thing called work. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
We'll
it's all good.
That. We'll get back to that, but I'm just saying, where's the new Contra game?
Yeah, I know, man.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know the state of Konami's developers. I almost feel like they don't have anybody in-house at this point in time.
By the way, there was a new Contra mobile game released in China. So there you go.
I think to be honest, to develop a Contra movie or a Castlevania TV series is way cheaper to do than actually make a real Contra game or Castlevania.
Yeah, fuck it.
Game,
I guess, yeah,
which is sad.
Yeah, Carlos, put the timestamp now. It's all about this Contra thing. Okay, so on a day where we had, you know, the embargoes lifted for Mario and Wolfenstein and Assassin's Creed, Konami decides, hey, we're gonna tell you get you, you know, we're gonna tell you guys that we got a Contra movie coming. It's like, what really? Like, it's gonna be like a Chinese movie apparently. And it seems like they're mixing the stories of, like, the Japanese game and the American game. And I don't even know what the fuck to think about this, man. Go ahead,
plus,
Robert.
There's a TV series. There's a TV series, too. I'm like, weekly Red Falcon challenges. I saw the teaser trailer for this, and I swear to God, you know what I get reminded of? When they did the G.I. Joe live-action movie with Channing Tatum and
Martin Lawrence. Oh, my God.
I'm like, it's going to be on that level. And they'll probably, like, badly cast Bill and Lance. They'll probably get... Who was the dude that played the lead character in Far Cry from that director who fucked up House of the Dead? They'll probably get somebody like him. Huh. I don't know. I'm like, this would have been a novel idea in the 90s when Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone were still in their prime.
That would be amazing.
You know
man.
What I mean? Yeah, yeah. I mean, this movie has missed the mark by, what, 3 decades? The last new Contra game we got was on, what, WiiWare years ago?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
It's I'm not counting the mobile.
They did make a Hard Corps by Arc System Works, which was
Uprising. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's a good game. But I'm just saying, like, you know, by handing it out to a Chinese studio, I mean, well, first off, they get to avoid Michael Bay, which is fantastic. But by the same token, it'd be like the way the story is like, well, a meteorite crash 29 years later, here come the commandos. Where the fuck were they when it came down?
Yeah, exactly.
Why did they wait 29 years? So I don't know. I've got my doubts. I've got my doubts. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the idea that we're finally getting Contra movie. TV series, I'm not sure how that'll work. It'll be like Power Rangers. Well, we killed him, Bill. Yep. Wait till next week. We'll kill another one.
It's so stupid. And my
It almost needs to be tongue-in-cheek, to be honest.
The thing is, I believe it's going to be like a Chinese production. Like, the main characters are Chinese, so I think it's going to be a pure Chinese production. So I'm like, are they even going to have, like, decent, like, you know, production values on this thing? You know?
Well, you know that crazy movie with Matt Damon in it?
Yeah, Matt Damon.
With the dragon? That was a Chinese movie.
Yeah, I know, I was, but wasn't it, like, American-produced?
You mean like the Great Wall? Chinese is that film. What it was?
Really?
It was a totally Chinese film.
Interesting. Okay, I guess
they're funding it, dude. They funded Great Wall, China. And also, same thing. There's a shitload of movies that are being funded and paid for by these guys. So
yeah, the fourth and fifth Transformers movies were actually funded in part with China.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but that doesn't mean quality. We're talking about movies that nobody cares about.
Well, you know, they're putting people in seats. That's what they're doing. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, with the insane amounts of money that come through China now, they could easily hire somebody like an ILM and be like, hey, do our effects for this crazy Contra film.
I really hope they take it in a good direction. I mean, I don't want to have this jokes or anything like, hey, Bill, check out this food here. Yeah, it's quite the spread. Yeah, I don't know. I regret what it might become. But, you know, the Castlevania animated series was cool, but that's because they had great people behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, like a Contra animated thing would be cool, this, man, I don't know. It's like, listen, can we just get a Contra game? I don't really care about this live action nonsense. Let me get a Contra game. And my thing is, now that people are used to Cuphead, right? Hey, what game used to play like that? Contra, bring that shit back. You know, come on, man. Yeah, but oof, yeah. Given the history of video game movies, I'm fearing the worst. I'm fearing the worst with this, man. But, you know, we'll see about that. All right. By the way, we're really running through all these show notes really fast tonight, so I'm going to toss in something extra. And I just got wind of this tonight. I'm not here to talk shit, but I just find this interesting because it's like no one's talking about this. So apparently yesterday, the editor-in-chief of Polygon went on an anti-Nintendo rant after he believed that one of his friends erased his 100-plus hour Legend of Zelda save, right? He went off on
fucking. Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah, he went off saying they're a dinosaur company. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. He says that that Zelda is no longer a Game of the Year contender. He's like,
Did you hear the update?
I know. That's the beautiful part. So he goes off on this fucking rant, right? It turns out that he was wrong. Basically, his friend, he went into master mode, right? And master mode has its own separate save slots, right? You know, empty save slots. So he goes
as if Nintendo had thought about this kind of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, he goes in there. He's just like losing his mind. He's like, oh, wait, I can go back to my normal game. All my saves are in there. And then, of course, he deleted every single one of those, tweets. But it's like, again, I'm not, you know, I've done shit like this before where I went off on big, huge fucking rants only to go, oh, shit, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You know, but it's a little bit different when you have the editor of a major website doing this. And the fact that no one's covering it is another thing. I'm like, you would figure if Angry, I'm quoting Rich from Review Tech, if Angry Joe were to do shit like that, oh, man, there would be headlines everywhere. You know, so anyway, Brett, since you've heard about this, what's your take on this?
Okay, where do I begin? There's so much wrong here to unpack. It's fucking stupid. So, yeah, the guy goes off on Nintendo because it took literally 3 seconds to what he thought overwrite his save file. it's not like the game doesn't tell you whenever you're about to overwrite something, just like every game that like, oh, you realize you're about to overwrite this. But more so the fact that, okay, so you hold this position at IGN, but you have
Polygon.
But you have clearly never even attempted or opened Master Mode on Breath of the Wild, which is a big thing to a lot of people. It seems like something that, while you may not have to have a lot of personal experience, you should fucking know. And if you're sitting there talking about like, oh, all you know, my save file was this long and I'd done all this stuff, like, look, man, if you're gonna try and give hardcore credentials, don't then expose yourself by never actually having played the hard mode. Like, I don't know what to say. And then yeah, like he deleted the tweets, or he tweeted a response and then deleted his tweets. The whole thing just it's such bullshit. At least have the balls to stand behind the shit that you were slinging. But even before it was found out, everybody was still calling this guy out, but like, oh, this is user error. And he was coming back and being like, well, maybe they shouldn't have designed it that way. To which the only thing I could actually say was, so are you literally saying that you wanted them to make your console idiot proof? And this is important because it's kind of like accepting a pardon. The second you say, yes, I want this to be idiot proof, is the same sentence in which you say, yes, I am an idiot. So I was just kind of waiting to like if you take this to its natural progression, you realize you're just telling everybody how dumb you are. But I don't think that part even nearly landed.
The most interesting part of it is, or the dumbest part of it is, the dude went on a rant on the wrong person/entity. It's his friend who overwrote his save file. Like, Nintendo, they didn't do this to him.
Damn it, Nintendo, why don't you have a foolproof system that doesn't overwrite saves? You should be able to lock them out. Save my saves.
You should have just rewrote that tweet ran and just replaced Nintendo's name with his friend's name.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah, that's like if a friend a friend ate your Big Mac and you blame McDonald's because the Big Mac was so scrumptious. Why is it so scrumptious? Where's you my... it, shitty.
Why did you put a low jack system in the Big Mac?
Hold on, you know what? You know what's funny about that? Like, that actually kind of happened to me like years ago, right? My buddy Mike, like, I bought some Popeye's chicken, right? So I left it on the table. My phone rang, right? I went to get it. By the time I come back, he ate all my fucking chicken. So that would be like me.
My chicken? Yeah.
So that would be like me going off on Popeye's. Man, what the fuck? Why didn't they prevent my friend from eating my chicken?
Why do they have to make their food so scrumptious?
Couldn't you have put a lock on the box, Popeyes, so I could have saved my fucking chicken from my friend?
Oh, that's amazing. Robert, what do you think about this silliness, man? I'm pretty sure you didn't hear about this either, right?
It's a poor representation. If I fuck up a save, or if my friend fucks up a save, I know exactly who to blame. I don't go to Nintendo and be like, way to fuck up my save, guys. I'm not that dumb. Okay? I know when I made a mistake, and I know my friend made a mistake, and my friend made a mistake. God help him. You better not erase my goddamn Zelda and rip his balls off and make him look like he's got Mario's wang. But it's just, he's got to understand he's the editor in chief of a video game website, and chewing out a major game company before you're about to run a review of Super Mario Odyssey, that takes idiocy to a whole different level. I don't think he was. I mean, I get mad on Twitter too. If I get shitty service at Hooters or whatever, I'll be like, hey, nice view, but the sandwich sucked, to the Hooters account. But I don't go like, well, goddamn it. You know, I don't go off in this 500 page rant to the wrong party, or the girls made this terrible. No, the girls made it wonderful. Thank you.
Yes.
But you get my point. There's a sense of professionalism that has to be involved there. I mean, if I get denied something, I'm not going to go and bitch about it. I'll just go about my merry little way. But, you know, if someone gets fucked up with my save, I know how it got fucked up, and I'm not going to go and blame the company that, you know, made the game, made this wonderful thing that I enjoy playing for hours on end. That's just stupid. it comes back to the whole Big Mac thing or the Popeye's chicken thing that Tony went through.
I want my chicken, damn it. He owes me, man.
Yeah, you know what reminds me of the Friends episode where, like, what was his name? Ross finds out that, like, somebody ate his sandwich from the music. My sandwich? You ate my sandwich? Probably blame the museum for that, too. Your moves, they need a lock on that refrigerator.
Oh, man.
Going out on a Friends episode. What the hell am I talking about?
I got to ask the obvious question. Will Nintendo treat with Polygon in the future after this shit?
Probably not.
You know how Nintendo is, man. They
fucked up. I know. I mean, I didn't even get a review copy of Super Mario Odyssey. I happily bought it. I was fine with that. I didn't go on a complaint rant. I know people in Nintendo. They're wonderful people. I've got no problem buying a game from them and showing my love and appreciation. You know, Chris, I don't know, like something goes wrong with the Switch button. Why'd you make the Switch so shitty? Or, you know, like, where'd my copy of Mario Odyssey go? Why is the cartridge so small? What's going on? What is this?
Yeah, why does this taste so horrible, Nintendo?
Why am I licking this cartridge?
Why did you make this cartridge so nasty?
Yeah,
yeah, but that's like
a cartridge. Now what, Nintendo?
That's like if your buddy punked you and stuck the cartridge in your sandwich.
Oh my god,
yo!
And then you ranted at Nintendo.
Have you seen my Zelda cartridge? You ate it. Well, I'm calling Nintendo. They need to make
it Nintendo. Later. That's it.
I gotta wait 3 days, Nintendo, and then I gotta dig through my own feces. I hope you're happy. By the way, I am
they're the ones that called it a chip.
Yeah,
I am impersonating Chris Grant. I have no problem with Nintendo. I love you guys. Take that out of context. I do not dig around in my own feces. That's not my style.
Yo, Brett just said, is Nintendo's fault for calling it a chip?
Oh, god damn it.
What the hell? You can eat it. You called it a chip.
This doesn't taste like Lay's at all.
Oh, yeah. My god.
Now it's like my intestines are bleeding.
So yeah, if you're the editor-in-chief of a prominent website, don't go off on companies unjustly, man. Watch what the fuck you say.
Like, you know, I feel like a lot of these guys, a lot of guys out there don't understand what it is to be a professional. And yes, I understand that you have an issue, but the thing is that before you even start going, you know, going with a gut reaction, why don't you actually sit there and find out if this, what you think is happening, happen, as opposed to just losing your shit because of something that you thought happened. To be honest, you know, all you need to do is just calm head, just sit there and figure it out. Maybe you'll be, you know, maybe you're wrong.
Exactly. You have to.
But everybody likes. But a lot of people online, you know, especially on Twitter, like to fucking showboat. And look for sympathy or whatever. Get, you know, with these dumb ass gut reactions, which
but is how idiotic. Are you getting sympathy? He's a game editor. As gamers, we're just gonna laugh at you, right? Yeah. Like you're an idiot. Like and also you're an entitled idiot, and you think you can just get away with that and do that while the rest of us have to, you know, spend money. And we actually play the games. I actually give a shit enough to, not have an asshole like. Mess with your system, and if an asshole messes with your system, then blame that asshole. That's it.
Yeah, don't blame the company, man. I'm not gonna run to Popeye's Chicken right now.
For a minute there, I thought you were talking about someone else, and we all knew who you're talking about.
Oh man.
Yeah. Anyway, sit there and complain, and be like, okay, well, I won't blame myself.
Oh god, hilarious. All right, man. So since we still got more time here, let's run down what everybody's been playing lately. Some redundancies here since me and Robert already said what we're playing. But Robert, have you been playing anything else besides the big three games that are coming?
I've been playing The Mummy Demastered.
Tell us about that, because I just heard about the existence of this game last week.
Well, it's by WayForward, the guys that did the Shantae game, the games, the Double Dragon, DuckTales Remastered. So they know all about their side-scrolling shit. So they're taking, you know, a shitty movie, and argue with me all you want, it's a very shitty movie. And they're tasked with making this Metroid-style running-gun shooter with, like, a Metroidvania-style setup. And I think it was pretty amazing. And this is coming off, like, me just finishing up Axiom Verge on the Switch, which is one of the best games out
there. Excellent game.
Yes, but I mean, like, You have all sorts of different weapons. You have like a harpoon gun. You can pick up like this cool thing, plasma thing that scans the screen for enemies, which is really cool. But the coolest aspect of all is you don't play Tom Cruise. Thank God. You play as a soldier from, what was it, Russell Crowe's little crew or whatever. I forgot the name of the paradigm or whatever the name of the group is. I could care less. But you, if you die in the game, you have to hunt down your old dead self to get all your stuff back. Whoa. It's the old, it's the zombie U concept, and really well done too. I really enjoyed this game. The gameplay is terrific. Graphics look great. The music, I mean, this is probably some of WayForward's best stuff, and that's including the Shantae Half Genie Hero soundtrack, which I loved. So, I mean, the Mummy Demastered completely blows my mind. How great it is. I am enjoying the hell out of it. I highly recommend it to any WayForward fans. And aside from that, I'm also playing Evil Within 2, which is qualifies, I think, as one of the best sleeper hits of the year. Because it did not get much distribution, you know, notice or anything like that. I got some ads or whatever, but it didn't really get too much hype. And it should have, because this is a big improvement over the first game.
Yeah, it really is. It really
is. I love how well it's come together and everything like that. The scares are just right. The gameplay is better. It's really well polished. I mean, I appreciate everything that I forgot how to pronounce his
name. Kamiya?
Yeah, Kamiya. Thank you. And his team, they did really good in capturing that horror vibe that we needed again. It was so good. So I recommend that for definitely playing for a Halloween thing. And then other than that, I've been playing some Xbox games, Crimson Skies. I've been playing that again. A little bit of Psychonauts, a little bit of Prince of Persia, and a little bit of Black. I think Black is a great shooter. It just didn't get hyped that much because, you know, it came from Criterion. I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't...
Yeah, right? Well, what is this?
Chris loves that game, man.
But it's still a fun game. It's a fun game. I thought it was a pretty good shooter and really underappreciated for its time. So, yeah. I've been playing a mixture of stuff. And then between that, obviously, Assassin's Creed, Wolfenstein, and as soon as I get off this thing, Super Mario.
Yes. Again, you know, because I'm... Robert, I wish I had your abilities, man. That's a lot of games. I only play one game at a time. I have, like... My thing is, like, when I bounce around from game to game, I tend to forget the controls. I'm like, what does this do? You know, like, I was like, for the first 4 hours of Assassin's Creed, I was trying to play like Shadow of War, which is the previous game I was playing. So
that's a great one too.
Great game, you know. Although I will admit, I like the game, but I don't find it as like novel as the first one. The whole Nemesis system doesn't seem as like unique, you know. It's still the same system, but it's just like, I quit it like this. It's like seeing the second Avengers movie. It's good, but it doesn't have that pop of the first one because you've never seen like, you know, five different superheroes on five different movies coming together like that. Now it's like, okay, we've seen all this before. But Shadow War is good, but I'll get to that later. But yeah, Assassin's Creed, I've been having a lot of fun with it. Just exploring everything. That Robert, as you know, that map is fucking ridiculous.
It is. I mean, I think the thing that annoys me the most is when I got to fly around with the bird and everything, like, you're not going fast enough.
Get
over to the objective so I can mark that shit. Go, you know. Pick up some speed.
Yeah, it's insane. So I've been playing that. And then, you know, before that, as you know, I don't know if I've said this enough times, but your boy legitimately beat Cuphead. No cheats. None of that crap over here.
Hey, I'm still working my way to get all the black and white, you know, the black and white stuff, because you got to go through it without shooting one bullet. And those run, but I mean, right now, Cuphead is my game of the year. Right now, I'll tell you, things may change in the next couple of weeks. But Cuphead is—I gave it a perfect score. I fucking love Cuphead.
Yeah, it's amazing, man.
And I got the vinyl set from I Am 8-Bit. Yeah, I had to have it. Come on, the soundtrack's amazing.
Yeah, it really is, man. Oh yeah, I'm glad you said that, because Cuphead, when I even before I beat, I'm like, yeah, this is making it into my top 10. This is fucking awesome. You know, it's a game that, you know, It forces you to play a specific way, and a lot of games don't do this anymore. You know, you corpse drag your way through, as Brett likes to say. No, you have to be skillful to beat this shit. And I don't like the whole like thing that came up, like, oh, this game's like, you know, it's not inclusive. It's like, listen, not every game is going to be for everybody. Some games are for specific type of people. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like specific movies are for a specific type of people, or specific books for specific type of people. That's like, oh, this science book has too many big words for children. You got to dumb that shit down.
Like saying the Joy Luv Club needs more action.
Postcards from the Edge needs more comedy.
Yeah, but yeah, Cuphead, fucking awesome. So that's go ahead.
Without cheating.
Shout out to Hip Hop Gamer. I actually bumped into him randomly in the city, and I gave him a little bit of heat about that, you know. But he said like, yo, man, I don't do that shit in multiplayers. I'm like, Yeah, I guess I can't really fault you. It's that's right. He doesn't cheat when he says he only cheats when he's doing single player shit. Even though I told him, don't stream it. Just don't stream that. Do it on your own time, bro.
Not for nothing. I mean, you know, he probably gets those games, you know, from the companies. And he's paying $60 on top of that. I don't know. I mean, you're paying $60 for, you know, something that should actually be going to the developer, I would say. I don't know. Just saying.
Yeah, man, he's giving hip hop the most heat on Twitter over this.
I said my piece with him.
Yeah, I've had my war with him when he said Drive Club was a better game than Forza Horizon 3. I'm like,
what? But at least my conversation with him, you know, back and forth with him. One thing I don't ever do, and you know, when I'm doing those sorts of things, is I don't start calling him an idiot because I don't think he's an idiot, but I just think, you know. It just seems like a bit of a contradiction to me.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Manny, since you're talking, have you been playing anything?
What is playing?
You're too busy.
I just work 24 hours a day.
Can I go next?
Yeah, you can still go have next.
Nier.
Yeah,
I still have Nier that's waiting for me to get the platinum, and I still have Hellblade. I did complete Sonic Mania a few days ago.
Oh, nice.
So that was good. You know, I'll see if I can go and get the Chaos Emeralds. I already got like three or four of them.
Oh, you're doing good then.
So yeah, you know, I'm playing at an incredibly slow pace. That's the way my gaming is now. If I can get like maybe 30 minutes in here or there, then I can do it, you know?
Yeah. All right, Carlos, since you wanted to go next, you could go next.
All right. 4% of people who bought Cuphead on Xbox finished it. 43% of the people in this panel have finished it.
My man.
Yo, man, I beat Cuphead 2, man. That shit's crazy. Yo, man. Yeah, you know what? Actually, the crazy thing is, the last level wasn't that hard to me.
Really? Because that was the hardest one out of all of them for me, man. That devil was brutal, you know? But the thing is about that fight, he gets progressively easier in each phase. But that first phase was so insane that it took me a long time to beat it, man.
When he claps the hands, that's the worst part. I hated that part.
Yeah, you got to duck. So as I was told, you just got to duck, you know?
Oh, what? I jumped every time.
Yeah, because that was what I was doing. And somebody was watching me stream. He's like, Tony, duck. And every single time it works like magic. Just duck, you know?
Ah, I wish I would have known that, because that thing would always like, because, you know, you always do like a dumb mistake that takes a life away from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's one that would most frequently take a life from me during that section. So yeah, man, that game was amazing. I can't wait till we have the game of the year discussion, man, because that's going to be in the mix for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure, man.
And I've been playing Heroes of the Storm. Yeah, you know, man, I always got to play that. And I've been playing Wolfenstein. I'm trying to beat Wolfenstein the New Order before I start with Wolfenstein 2. The game has been really good. Ammo is really precious in that game.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I like or dislike the fact that you have to press square every time you want to pick up ammo and stuff like that.
Use the mounted guns as much as possible. And when you pick up a mounted gun and put it back on the mount, it gets it's ammo recharged, so use that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Nice to keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to know. I wonder if the second one's going to have that. Chris, you and mounted guns, man. I swear.
Yeah. You should have seen my face beaming when I realized you could pick up the gun and take it with you. I'm like, oh, shit, man.
This is awesome. It's mine? It's all mine?
Yeah, Robert, every time we play GTA, Chris is like Arnold Schwarzenegger with a minigun.
Except there are multiple casualties.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yo, and that game is dark, too, man. Like, there's this... I'm not even going to go into spoilers, but...
And what is the Wolfenstein that came out 3 years ago? Go ham.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Oh, no, because then you guys would talk about stuff that goes after that, and then you would spoil me.
I'm not spoiling anything. Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
Yeah. So Dumbledore dies too. Anyways,
by Snape's hand.
Yo, man. Oh, there's a section in Wolfenstein where the freaking dog popped out of nowhere, man. Reminded me, gave me Resident Evil vibes, man.
Oh, shit.
Oh, dude. I'm going to spoil it, but you're in for a party.
Oh, shit. Yo, man. But Wolfenstein's been really good. And actually, another game that I played and beat was, surprise, Uncharted 4. I never got to beat it last year.
Wow.
I got to maybe a little bit more than halfway last year, and then I just moved on. I never got back to it, even though I told myself that I wanted to get back to it. And, yeah, second best Uncharted game, in my opinion, in the whole franchise.
I could agree with that.
Except for that stupid final boss.
Yeah, that final boss was pretty weak.
That's the one curse of the Uncharted series, just having shitty-ass last final bosses.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Chris. What about you, man?
I've actually been playing Zelda.
Oh shit! How you liking it, man? Because I know you play at E3 and all that, but what do you think of it now that you're playing it on your own?
Did your save get overwritten by chance?
No. Amazingly, me and my wife, we made two profiles so that we each have our own saves.
Oh, amazing!
Wow, it's like Nintendo wants to innovate.
But no, it's good. It's really brutal at some points. Like it's kind of I don't know. Anuma must have looked at Dark Souls or something, because you go sometimes you'll just see a group of guys and you're like, yo, I could take these guys. They just whoop your ass.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yo, it's like three goblins. Like I could take these guys and just beat your ass. And it's like, god damn it, it's like Dark Souls all over again. No, I'm having fun. I'm trying to get through it systematically, but so far I enjoy it.
Yeah, Ben. In that game, I actually purposely avoided combat, but it was mostly because I didn't want to lose my weapons. You know, like I have a good stash of weapons here. I don't want to lose them. I'm just gonna avoid all these motherfuckers. You know, Brian, man, what about you?
I've hit that cycle when I'm not playing games. So I've actually not been playing much exciting. I did, as I said, I platinum God of War first one last week. And the next one on the list is Steins Gate.
Ooh.
So Carlos, when I get around to that, Carlos, I'll let you know.
Nice. It's not hard to platinum. It just takes a long time.
That's why I chose it.
Oh man. And anything else, man?
No, just been like, I'm just that type of guy when like I just hit like these cycles of like, okay, films for a bit, TV shows for a bit, games for a bit. So now I'm just in like the TV shows, animes hump for a bit, and then I'll probably like switch through to movies and games. But in terms of stuff that's coming out so far, like I honestly have no incline to buy anything purely because I just want to get some other games done and dusted. I actually want to clear out my backlog, which means I probably won't be buying any new games until like 2020.
Wow, 2020?
No, the backlog is big. It's, you know, big, like this, I have like 40 or like 20 something games on PS4, so the backlog needs to be gone.
Oh, you forgot one more game, Brian.
What's that?
Derailing Races in GTA 5.
Oh, talking shit.
Shout out to Throwdown Plays, man.
You know?
GTA 5, the infinite lulls game.
Yeah, Brian, I'll save it for after the show because I can't talk about it now. Need for Speed is going to get you, man. Just saying. Yeah. And Brett, what have you been playing lately, man?
I'm still sucking to Fallout. There's a shitload of content in that game, and apparently I missed a whole bunch.
Yeah, how many DLCs do they have? Because like last time I counted, they had like four major DLCs.
Yeah, they have like, let's see, they have Far Harbor. Well, Bethesda always goes through the same iteration of DLCs where they kind of give you a small story in an area that you already have, a small expansion to an area that you already have, and then like a large new world kind of thing. So it's kind of the same deal with, how Fallout 3, had Farpoint or whatever it was. It's kind of like that. So you have the main world, and then you have a new quest line in the main world, and then you have Far Harbor, and then you have a bunch of workshop DLCs, which is both a dream and a nightmare for me, because I'm not sure if any of you know how I am with settlement building, but I go fucking crazy with settlement building. So I just found out there's a giant underground area. They're like, here's a great place to build a vault. And I was like, yeah, this is also a giant, like, foggy antechamber. I think I'm going to build Rapture in here. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to build Rapture in here. Shit. There goes another, like, 15 hours of my life.
Yeah, you should document that, by the way. That
would I'll actually show you guys the second sanctuary I've been working on. It's kind of built based on my first one, but it is fucking swanky.
Is it floating in the air with your trick?
No. I'm actually trying really hard to build it like an environmental designer would. So building it with the idea and lore in mind, and I have to go out and actually like find the stuff. And I've gotten to the point now where I've set up crops and water purifiers and things like that. So my settlements are beginning to be not just self-sufficient, but actually giving me stuff back, which I can then use to turn around and help build more settlements. So I'm kind of making my own game out of it, but that's the beauty of Fallout, is you just kind of find something you like and keep doing that thing. So there's just an endless amount of content here, and I'm kind of, that's why I'm not really big on any of the games that are coming out in the next month. I'll probably play some Mario, but just about everything else, I'm going to either get polished up with a couple patches or come down in price, because apparently that's the world we live in today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's true. All right. So that's going to do it for us. So, Robert, man, I want to thank you for being on, enlightening us with your knowledge and all that. I hope you had fun tonight, man.
I did. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Yeah. And please plug your stuff, man.
All right, well, you can find me at twitter.com/thedcd. You can also, I think my image froze for some reason. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, it's been like, you've been like that for like the whole night.
I'm just sitting there like, man, I really need to poop.
Hey, you got your headset. You could have done it during the show.
I guess I should have thought that. It's twitter.com/thedcd. You can also find me at comicbook.com/gaming. And we also do a podcast called Art Podcast, which is over there at retrozap.com. We just did an episode talking about pinball with Zen Studios' Mel Kirk. So that'll be out tomorrow, I believe. So, yeah, by all means, listen to that. And I will see you guys at PlayStation Experience with my badass scar.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. I will see, because I didn't get to see you at E3, so I'll get to see you at PSX. So,
yeah.
Fucking totally. Awesome. Is Dave going to be there too?
As far as I know, hopefully he's not staying in a room full with insects. Because he went to PGRE, he went to the Retro Gaming Expo in Portland, and he checked in a place called the Pestioli now. But you had bugs crawling out of the sink. He's got a story for you.
I got to talk. It's funny because
you got to look at reviews.
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting.
The bugs get better accommodations than you. But of course, that's the kind of room we save for Chris Grant.
Yeah. Oh.
Wait a minute, Nintendo, what is wrong with my room? Nintendo, what is this?
Yeah, just blame Nintendo for everything, right?
Why is my sandwich not coming together? It's not my fault I ran out of Miracle Whip. It's yours.
Why did my friend eat my Popeye's chicken, Nintendo?
My chicken.
Man, all right, so let's wrap it up. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throw It Down on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Also, make sure you follow our Twitter.
Yes.
YouTube has been a little bit silly, and it doesn't seem to be notifying people that we're actually going live or when things have been uploaded. So the best place to do that, just as a thing, all you guys out there, make sure you go to at Throwdown Show on Twitter, and you will be updated as to when we go
enable
live.
Enable notifications for that, so you'll be updated that way, because Twitter's been pulling that bullshit just yet,
Yes.
We'll tell you more details on the next show.
Oh, I almost forgot one thing.
What's up?
I'm sorry. I got to get brother. Go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead, man.
The shout out to rest in peace, Stepto, Stephen Toulouse. He died earlier this morning, and it was sad to hear, real sudden, too. This is the man that helped shape Xbox Live into what it is today. So shout out to Step2.
Yeah, thank you for that, man.
I completely slipped my mind.
It kind of slipped my mind too. But Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Korean dramas, they're good.
Especially when you're eating barbecue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Ooh, Korean barbecue, boy. Don't get me. And me and Carlos are already hungry, man, so stop.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Popeye's chicken.
Brett Murdoch.
It has been real as always, party people.
And Brian Majoma.
I can't believe that someone made a massive gaffe of things.
Oh, yeah, Brian, you missed that episode, man. We went in on NeoGaff. Anyway,
wait, I'll talk about the Nintendo guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, everybody's gaffing this week. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll see you guys next time. Later.
See ya.
Peace.
Deuces.